All right. Well, today I'm going to continue on speaking on our overcoming series, and we've spoken about overcoming past, overcoming our rejection, overcoming sin, and now we're going to be speaking on overcoming fear. Today I'm going to focus on fear. Now, how many of you guys sitting here this morning have ever been afraid? Can I see your hands? Okay. Anybody here afraid of spiders? Can I see your hands? Keep them up. Okay, we got a few people. I'm not afraid of spiders. I just... Sorry for all the people that love insects. Anybody else afraid of swimming? Can I see your hands? Okay, we got a few people afraid of swimming. Okay. I've always wondered about those people when you go to vacation, you see they're just hanging out in like at the beach. They don't really go to the water. Now we know. Well, I am, as a father... I love seeing, as a parent, you know, seeing my boys grow and become the man that God is calling them to be and mature and be more brave as they kind of embark this journey of life. And this summer is the first summer that one of our boys, I'm not going to mention names, one of our boys actually is fully embracing this swimming thing, you know, going into the deep end by himself, swimming, not needing my help anymore. I've always wanted to be there and just hold him up a bit or give him like an extra thing to carry on his body so that he wouldn't drown, but he doesn't care anymore. He just goes in and has fun, and I just love seeing that as a dad. Or another one of my boys always was afraid of roller coasters and rides on the lake with the whatever they call it, tube, yeah. And now he's completely overcome that fear, and he goes out and freely, he wants to do it again and again and again. So just really, as a father, it just makes you feel good when you see your kids just stepping out of their fears, whatever they used to be afraid of, and then just being fully embracing this life and enjoying life. And isn't it sometimes how we in this life as Christians, as we walk through this life, I have a feeling like the Father in heaven that loves us and cares for us so much, he loves when he looks at us and he... You know, he's just waiting for us to just step out of whatever we are stuck in, whatever fear we're experiencing, and going through. He just loves seeing his kids kind of just move forward in life, overcoming fears and just progressing and really experiencing this life to the fullness. The life that God had intended us to live from the very beginning. And like we mentioned in the very beginning of this series, 1 John, and the scripture that this series is based on is, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Romans 8:37 says this, now in all these things we're more than overcomers, more than conquerors, not just overcomers, but more than overcomers through him who loved us and gave his life for us. And that's Jesus Christ himself who lives in us through his Holy Spirit. And the enemy is so smart, because what the enemy does, the enemy of our soul, he tries to use these things against us, and especially one of the things we talked about, rejection and past, and he's trying to keep us in our past so that we wouldn't move forward. He's trying to keep us thinking about rejection and how many times we've been rejected in our life and not really giving us full experience of life and trying to pull us back from what God wants to accomplish in our life. And the same thing goes for fear. You see, the enemy uses fear to accomplish his purposes and his plans for us and not let God's plans and God's purposes fully be discovered and unleashed in our life. And these things have stopped many, many people from fully embracing God's purpose and plan, and one of them being fear. Fear will kill our growth, and fear will kill our purpose. And that's what I want to talk, focus on this topic of fear. And you probably have heard many times people speak on fear or talk about fear. And I don't know what comes to your mind when you think about fear. The one thing that comes to my mind when I think about fear, especially in this generation, is anxiety. You know, you open up the news and the most negative things that are happening in the world, they just put it right there in front of you so that you could feel fear and anxiety and what's going to happen and what's going to come, and the fear of unexpected, and the fear of the gas prices going up again, and the fear of this government and this war and this. And it's like the enemy just operates in that fear, and he tries to control not only this world, but he tries to control the very Christians, people that are supposed to live free of fear, by not living a full life that God intends for them. And I'm here to tell you the truth that you probably have heard many times before. The fear does not come from God. It never does, it never will. Now, there's fear, and the Bible talks a lot about fear. There's a good fear, and we've gone over this over the years, about the fear of God, which is about his reverence and just having a fear of towards God's purposes and God's plans and his will. And that's a good fear, but there's a bad fear. That's what I'm focused on today. The bad fear that is a result of sin that happened in the Garden of Eden. And if you look at God's plan for creation from the very beginning, it was for people to live freely and fully in the plan and purpose that he had for them, starting with Adam and Eve, who actually had a pretty good time until they disobeyed God and felt fear for the very first time because of sin that entered into their heart through the disobedience. And then ever since then, the humanity has been struggling with this notion of fear and running away from God as if God cannot find us or know, as if God doesn't know where we are when we try to hide from God or hide things from God. And just like Adam and Eve, our great-great-great-great-grandparents struggled with fear, we today also struggle with fear. And we have fear. We're exposed to fear every single day of our life, just like we are with the rejection and everything else that we've talked about over the last few weeks. And did you know that someone said that there is do not fear scripture or the not fear statement mentioned in the Bible 365 times? Well, I just come to find out that that's actually not true. It's only 71 times, and then there's other mentions of do not fear and stuff like that, but it's not 375. So I was kind of disappointed because I used to believe until just 2 weeks ago that there's 365 mentions of do not fear in the Bible. But okay, does that mean that I should fear? No, it doesn't, because the Bible talks about fear. And if you look at the Bible, and if you look at all the great things that God has accomplished through many, 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 many people in the scripture, it all started with, most of them started with the statement, do not fear, I'm your God, I'm going to be with you. And then those people from the beginning of the world, you're looking at, you can go from Moses to Joshua to all the great people in the Old Testament and David, and then you go to New Testament, you know, fear was always there, and God would come even to Mary. An angel came up to Mary. He said, first thing that he said was, do not fear. You're favored among people, and there's going to be a Savior that's going to come through you. So God is always, when he wanted to accomplish something great in this life and through his people, he would always come with the statement, do not fear. Even Jesus, when he resurrected, the first thing he said when he came to a room, he says, peace be with you. And another translation would say, do not fear as well. It's like God is trying to tell us something here. We as humans, we struggle with fear, and we go through fear. And fear, what I've come to find out, is fate, except fate directed at the worst outcome and the worst thing. Having faith is something bad is going to happen, something bad is going to come about, so we don't act and we don't do certain things because we feel something bad is going to happen. But that is faith that's directed in the wrong direction, the wrong way. And I've heard people say many times that faith is the opposite of fear, and that's true. I've heard people say that the opposite of fear is also peace. That's true. Jesus has come to give us peace. He is peace, and he is the Prince of Peace. And he said in this, like we heard the scripture, peace I leave with you. And it's not the peace that this world gives you. It's a different kind of peace. And then what I also have heard that somebody said that the opposite of fear is courage or bravery. And of course, that is also true. But today I want to talk to you about this notion of what fear represented for Jesus and what oftentimes will represent for us as we move in and through this life. And the opposite of fear in this case I want to talk to you about is surrender and trust. Surrender and trust. And instead of focusing on David, who destroyed this massive Goliath, and Joshua, who was about to take the land, and God said, Do not be afraid. I'll be with you. We're going to go do this together. Instead of focusing on all these great characters, I'm going to focus on Jesus, because Jesus himself, who was fully God and fully human, just like he experienced rejection to the fullest, also experienced the deepest fear that any human can ever experience. Can you believe that? It wasn't when they brought him, when he was in the boat with disciples, and when the storm rose up, and all the disciples were fearful for their life. It wasn't at that time. Matter of fact, he stood up and he said, okay, peace, be still, and then the storm just settled. It wasn't a time when they were trying to push him. They brought him to the cliff, and they're about to push him over. It wasn't even at that time. There was no fear. Well, the Bible doesn't talk about it, so he just kind of walked away and just went about his business, and nothing happened. It was just before he was to go to the cross. And we all know that story, and I'm going to go through it, and we'll kind of dive deep into it. But what I want to talk about Jesus in this sense is, like I mentioned when we talk about rejection. You see, Bible calls him in Hebrews as our high priest, the one who has gone through things so that he can empathize with our weaknesses and know what it's actually like to feel fear. And I heard about these things before and heard about Jesus experiencing fear, read it myself, but I never actually come to realize until I started preparing this message that he actually experienced the fear that most of us in this room have never experienced before. I actually don't know of a single person that experienced this level of fear. And I'm going to read that right here. But before I do, a few years ago, I heard of a story of a young firefighter who stood in front of this burning house. And there was a family that was inside there. He was supposed to save. And every single instinct in him told him that he should just run away. He should not go in because he's going to die. The heat was unbearable. It was a massive fire. The smoke was just everywhere. But then he just ran inside, saved the family, came out, and then he said something really interesting afterwards. He said this: I felt fear, but I did not let that fear decide my next move. I let my mission decide it. And in one of the most vulnerable moments of Jesus' life, which was the Garden of Gethsemane, we're going to read that in a moment, we see Son of God, God's very own Son, Jesus, staring fear right in the eyes, in the face, and still moving forward with the mission that God had for him. 2 Timothy 1:7 says this, one of my favorite verses, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind." Did you know that fear is a spirit in nature? And it comes from the enemy. And oftentimes, the way it comes, it can paralyze us and it can stop us from fulfilling the mission and the purpose that God has for us. And what I've found in my own life, how fear looks like most often, is not what we usually... I mentioned anxiety as a part of it. Anxiety is a big part of the day and age that we live in. And that's definitely... big part of fear, but I've seen it in my own life. It often lives and hides behind few things. One is busyness. The other one is perfectionism, being perfect, making sure everything is running smooth, which is rooted in rejection and also in control. And then anger. And I want to just share a few stories here that really kind of spoke to me, but I've seen it in my own life many, many, many times. The fear just shows up in these areas in my life where I try to control things, where I try to take things into my own hands, where I think that I know best, and on and on and on. So in Jesus' case here, fear lost its power when he fully surrendered to God's will. And fear will always lose its power in our own life when we fully surrender to God's will. So this whole scene, the ending of the Son of God going to the cross, it was chaotic, and it was like you watch a movie. If you watch the movie, The Passion of the Christ, or any other movie, you see that there was a lot going on. everybody, from the disciples, from the moment of this beautiful moment at the last communion that they had together when Jesus was saying, do this in remembrance of me. From the beautiful moment, as soon as Judas left and betrayed Jesus, from that moment on, there was this fear that came about everybody. And you could actually see it in stages and in people, going from Jesus himself to his disciples. And it just kept on coming back and back. And I just want to read Luke. There's an account of this same thing happening in Matthew, but I'm focused on Luke because it's just really concise. It's cut down to the point, but it mentions this whole aspect of fear that I don't think anybody has ever experienced, that I know of in my own life. And maybe you don't even know a person that experienced this kind of, this deep fear. But he says right here, because Luke was a doctor, he's talking about this, something happening in Jesus's, with Jesus' body. And let's just read this together. It's Luke 22, 36 to 46, and he says this. The prayer in the garden. Now, Jesus goes to the prayer. In Matthew, actually, it says that Jesus was, Matthew 26, 39 says, Jesus said this, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. And then he goes into this, and he says, coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives, as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it's your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him, and being in agony. And if you look at this word agony, it is this deep distress and deep fear. He prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer, had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Now Jesus knew what was coming. Jesus knew what he was going to face and what he was going to experience. It wasn't like, you know, sometimes we go through this life and we have the fear of unknown and what's coming, and we have, well, I don't know what's going to happen, you know, I don't know how they're going to react or what's going to happen, and we have this natural fear of certain things. I don't know if, you know, they're going to say yes when I propose to them. I don't know how we're going to buy a house. I don't know this, and I know all these questions that we have as humans. But this here, Jesus, who was God himself, he actually, I think the worst part of not knowing is knowing what's coming. You know, he knew what was coming. Jesus knew exactly what was about to happen. He knew exactly that there's going to be people that are going to be coming, and they're going to beat him up. They're going to mock him. They're going to make fun of him and crucify him, and he knew exactly what was coming. But as he was sort of, as we knew that, he sort of had this last prayer, almost like a last prayer before he went to the cross, and last resort, he went to the Father earnestly, and he prayed this prayer, Father, if it's your will, take this cup away from me. And in the Matthew account of the same story, it says that he prayed this prayer three times, and then three times he came to his disciples, seeing them falling asleep. Every single time he prayed it, he went back to them. They were sleeping. He went to pray it again. He went back to them. They were sleeping. And then again and again, and then he lost it. He said, why can't... In Matthew, he said, can you not even stay awake for an hour and just pray with me? Fear was real for Jesus. He was the Son of God. He was faithful. He was with no sin, with no blemish. Nothing, he's never done anything wrong. in his whole account. He's not done. He was tempted by the enemy once when he came to tempt him in the 40 years in the wilderness after his baptism. Couldn't stand. Jesus just went off. He used the scripture to fight against the enemy, and he just went on with his ministry. But in this moment of his life, in Luke 22, we see this thing happening with him that I have never... When you actually go deep down, this is actually a medical condition. It's very rare. It doesn't happen often. That's why we probably don't know people that have gone through this. But it's called hematidrosis, which is this condition where a person is under such extreme physical and emotional stress that they actually start sweating blood. It's never happened to me. I don't know of a single person. I know quite a bit of people that have had so much stress in their life that they actually started sweating blood. And this word, like I mentioned, this anguish word in the scripture is actually this deep, extreme physical, emotional stress and pain and fear that Jesus felt. And fear was so real in his life in these last moments. But Jesus embraced this extreme fear, and he still obeyed so that the fear would never have the final word in his life and all of our lives as well. Fear came, it was real, it was there, but it didn't take over, and it didn't deter him from the mission that God had for him. And how do we overcome fear in our lives? Well, it's very simple. If we can just look to Jesus, we can just look to what Jesus did. He said that he felt such sore, he was so overwhelmed that he just honestly went to God. And you and I, just like that, fear is real, even for the faithful. We can bring fear to God honestly. We can be just like Jesus, where we don't have to hide our emotions and we don't have to pretend and we don't have to cover things up and not admit things. We can just go to God freely and just say, God, Dad, Father, Abba, Father, I'm afraid. I'm sad. I'm fearful. I'm scared. I'm truly scared. Jesus did not deny his emotions. He just expressed them honestly. But it was setting him up for surrender. It was setting him up for surrender. And sometimes, like we see here what he was praying, he was saying, if possible, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours. And sometimes in our fears, what happens, we often, like I mentioned, fear shows up in disguise as control. And sometimes we try to control things we try to take things into our own hands, and we try to figure out things in our own, what will work best for us, not realizing that it is the moment of surrender where God starts to move in our life. It is the moment of surrender where God starts to work in our heart. And sometimes fear is also going to come and show itself up as busyness and avoidance. And we do that as humans nonstop. We, just like disciples here, instead of engaging in prayer, like Jesus told them, they fell asleep. This happened to me multiple times, on multiple occasions. We're trying to pray, and you fall asleep. And we often as humans do the same. We fill our lives with all kinds of things and distractions just to avoid facing fear right in the face. We try to get busy. Just give me something to do so that I wouldn't face my own fears. The message here is that we should never numb our fear with distraction, but we should always bringing into the presence of God where our fear can actually be healed and completely transformed. We can try to ignore it. We can try to get ourselves busy. We can try to avoid it and avoid it and avoid it, but there's going to be a time where it's going to come and where we won't be able to avoid it anymore. We can bring our raw, our unfiltered feelings to God and tell him how we feel. Prayer, in this case, the prayer in the garden, was the pathway through fear. That's what helped him get through it. Going straight to the Father, not all the other things, but the Father himself. And what we see here, as we kind of, even as this whole story progresses forward, the prayer did not remove the cross, but prayer did prepare Jesus to actually carry the cross. It actually helped him face that. And we also see it in this whole situation. After this, when the guards came and started drawing their swords, we see Peter, who was, by the way, sleeping instead of praying, got tempted, got overwhelmed by anger, got overwhelmed by this need to control things, took out his sword, cut the ear off. He tried to take the whole situation into his hands, not knowing that that was the wrong approach. And even Jesus, just moments later, says, "Stop, Peter. This is nonsense. That's not how you deal with stuff." I love how Jesus never pointed out. Well, he did point out when he was there, but should have been praying. When I told you to pray, so you wouldn't be tempted. But here you are now, again, Peter, going with the head straight to the wall and just doing whatever you think is best. Don't we do that sometimes, the same thing? We do it all the time. We just feel like we know the best, and now we just give me some swords. We just start swinging swords, and we just think that we can fix only what God can handle. He was hoping. it's just interesting to see this, how God of universe, God, Jesus himself, who was fully God, fully human, he relied on a spiritual support of his friends, asked them to pray, and just, he was even mentioning just 1 hour of your day, just 1 hour. Just take 1 hour of your day to pray. And they were just having a hard time staying awake. They were just letting Jesus down, not once, not twice, but 3 times. You know, in our life, we overcome fear better when we don't face it alone, when we have a community of people that surround us, and when we actually honestly and truly ask other people to pray for us, hoping that they will not fall asleep either, that they will not follow through, that they will follow through, hoping that they would follow through. Jesus was bold. He asked boldly for this relief. He came to the Father. He said, if it's possible, take this cup from me. He was honest. He was asking for help. But this did not mean that he was weak. It actually meant that he was real and he was honest. And in the situations of our life, when we face fear, when we go through fear, we need to learn how to pray boldly, how to be bold. We need to learn how to tell God what we hope for, what we want, even if it doesn't seem impossible. And then end it with the second part of the prayer, which is, but nevertheless, your will, Father, not mine. Your will, Father, not mine. Let prayer in your life replace the need to control every single outcome that you think is best. And people that live in this, people that live in this whole thing of control, perfectionism, that's all rooted in fear of control, of having things turn out the way that exactly they need to turn out. Prayer shifts our fear from our shoulders to God's hands, and he gives it to them. And this is where the turning point is for most of us in our own life, is in this place where I mentioned in the beginning of surrender. Surrender is the turning point. In our life, many turning points come at the point of surrender, full surrender of our lives, fully and wholly to Him. To the one that knows best, to the one that loves us the most, to the one that gave His life and has not great, but greater plan for us than what we think. We'll never experience breakthrough in our life or see God's hand move if we try to stay in control and if we try to figure out things in our way and try to push our will forward. It's letting the control fully, surrendering fully to God and God's will. That's where the big breakthrough comes through, fully surrendering to God's will. And that was the turning point in Jesus' life. And I believe that will be maybe the turning point in many of our lives, where we come to a point in our life where we say, I surrender, God, to your will and your plans and your purpose for my life. And I believe in my heart that there's going to be victory in whatever that looks like, but I want your will to be done in my life first. Another thing that I mentioned is anger. Anger, fear sometimes comes through anger, where we actually see as they come, Peter was angry, everybody was angry, the crowd came angry, they were angry at Jesus, they wanted to crucify him, who is this guy? And this whole thing, when you see anger show up in our life, it usually has to do with fear. It's rooted in fear and rejection. Actually, I would say fear is probably a little brother of rejection. Everything is kind of rooted in rejection, but there's fear that comes out of that. And when you look at that, when you look at those things, we try to cover it up and we get upset. And fear tempts us to fight in flesh instead to just fully surrender our life to the Spirit of God, to the Holy Spirit that lives in us. And courage oftentimes in our life will come from God's strength, not from our strength. It's not something that we can muster up. It's not something that we have come up with. It's not our power. It is His Spirit that lives in us. So Jesus, just like that, faced fear right in the face. He rose up, He faced the battle, and He did not run away. He did not try to leave and say, okay, this is it, I'm going to walk away from this. But He just knelt down before the Father, and He had this courage that was given to Him. Actually, funny thing is, it's mentioned here, right? We just read it. Then as He prayed, it says that the angel appeared from heaven and strengthen Him. Isn't that interesting? Sometimes we miss these things out. But when we fully, wholly surrender to God, I really believe that His angels can come and strengthen us in a moment. I fully believe that His Spirit can come and strengthen us in our deepest anguish, in our deepest sorrows. And only then, when He was strengthened by this angel, He had this new courage to rise up and face what was coming. Not for His own good, but for the good of all humanity. And just like that, in our own life, when we understand where fear comes from, when we understand that our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lived on this earth, faced the deepest fear that anybody can ever face. When we understand that He's now gone and He sent His Spirit to live with us and guide us and strengthen us, lives in us right now in this moment, then we can fully surrender and we can fully let Him be God and give him the control and fully trust Him. Amen? See, just before the Gethsemane and this whole idea of Jesus facing His deepest fear, we see what happened with the disciples when he was sitting in a room sharing the bread. And that's what we're going to close with today as we go to the communion. Jesus is doing his last thing with his disciples, and he's opening up his heart, and he's saying, listen, one of you is going to betray me. And they were all confused and fearful, what's going to happen? And then he just transitioned, and he says, but now we're going to have this, and I want you to remember this, and I want you to remember that every time you take this cup and every time you take this bread, that I am with you. And that is the greatest truth for us Christians as we face fears and face discouragement and face past and face rejection, to know and to believe that we can do this, not in our own strength, but because God is with us. Amen? Amen? In Isaiah, one of my favorite verses, which is also in your notes there, Isaiah 40, we just read this a few weeks ago. Fear not, for I'm with you. Do not be dismayed, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you. Marco, if you want to come up. Fear not, for I'm with you. Do not be dismayed, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you, says the Lord. Do you believe that? Yes. From Moses to Joshua, the only thing that they needed to know was that God was with them. And that was the only promise that God kept on giving them and telling them, listen, you're going to go into this, but I'm going to be with you. Even the warrior Gideon, who only had 300, don't worry, it's not about the numbers. I am going to be with you. And that was all the Israelites and all the people, the great people of God, needed to know, that they were not alone in this life. That the God was with them, and that no matter what they were facing, whether it was Philistines who were great in numbers, and this Goliath who was this 9-foot dude who nobody could ever overcome, David came alongside, and he knew exactly who was with him. It wasn't his strength, it wasn't his size, it wasn't his weapons that they tried to put on him, it wasn't any of these things, it was the courage. It was this notion that God was with him. He was with him when he was fighting the lion. He was with him when he was fighting the bear. So he knew that this Goliath, who was 9 feet tall, couldn't stand a chance because God was with him. I wonder how many of you this morning need to hear that truth, that God is with you. He is with you. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to fear. You don't have to worry about, you know, what will happen and what's next and how am I going to do this and this seems impossible. You don't have to worry about any of these things. You just have to know that God is with you, and that is the greatest truth that we as Christians can believe and live by. God is with us. Amen.